Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
People say I ain't no good, and I'm crazy as a loon. Cause I shave my head in the morning, pick guitar in the afternoon. Just like old Chief and Charlie, I like to lay around in the shade. Well, I ain't got no money, but you better believe I got it made. Cause I ain't asking nobody for nothing if I can't get it on my own. If you don't like the way I'm living, just leave this bald-headed country boy alone.
Well, good morning, folks. I know that it has been a hot minute since you guys have heard from me. I had to take some time off, some much-needed time off. I'm just going to go ahead and tell y'all the story that I'm about to tell you guys. It is so unbelievable that it has to be true. So I'm just going to start off by saying real quick that I started not to do this show. I really did. I thought that this was something that I might need to just keep to myself because it's so sensitive. But then I just got done watching The Blind, the Phil Robertson story, or the Duck Dynasty, folks. And y'all probably just heard the trailer in the background. I was turning it back on while I'm doing this to kind of give me strength to get through it. But anyway, so I just kind of want to say this. I'm going to be real vulnerable with y'all the next little bit. I'm even recording this show, like sitting in my recliner, sitting back. I didn't want this to be like a regular show. This is hard. This is hard. I can talk about so much shit, but every once in a while, something is just so touchy to me that it's hard to get off my chest. And somebody recently told me that I don't deal with that kind of stuff well. I usually just get drunk about it. And so much that it ruined a relationship, to be honest with you. And rightfully so. Okay, so I'm just going to start this way. I just got to be so vulnerable because this is just a true story. It's my story tonight. So, sponsors, please don't hold this against me. There's a show that I have watched over and over again on Netflix. It's called How to Change Your Mind. And I've watched it so many times. And I've microdosed mushrooms a good bit. The last time I did anything was at New Year's. I thought when I did them at New Year's that I wouldn't ever have to do them again. I didn't really microdose. Kind of went overboard with it at New Year's. But I've never done what's called a macro dose. All right. Macrodose is what you do pretty much when you're trying to just figure out life and every one of the questions that you have. If you watch the documentary, they literally talk about how a macrodose of either DMT or psilocybin can literally rewire you, but you have to be strong enough to go through the process of it, right? So, this is where I'm going to be vulnerable with you guys. I recently had a traumatic experience in my life that was self-inflicted. I thought, and I'm not trying to make this the biggest part of the story, because the biggest part of the story is me being a problem and trying to fix my problem. But recently something didn't go my way. And when it didn't go my way, I started pointing fingers literally at everything in the situation but myself. And tonight, I figured out how damn wrong I had been by doing that. I kind of already have been coming to terms with it a little bit. But doing the macro dose that I did tonight, and by the way, the reason why I did the macro dose, and this is where I was getting like hard to say a while ago. Look, the best way now to put this, I was at my end. Like, there was not, like, I wasn't holding on by a thread no more. I was holding on by the thread of the thread. So much that, like, I didn't, let me say this too. It was not to where I wanted to, like, commit suicide or anything like that. It's not that. But I wanted my life that I was living to end, if that makes sense. Like, I knew I couldn't live this way anymore and be happy. I've done a lot of reading. I've done a lot of looking at memes and listening to stuff over the past month. And I realized, like, you have to sacrifice yourself if you ever want, like, a new life. If you're ever tired of the life you live, you eventually have to sacrifice yourself. And you have to sacrifice things that you think you love or the things you think you enjoy for the things you actually love. Now, the reason why I bring that up is because I'm an extremist. You're probably listening to this right now and you're like, oh, he is fucking crazy. Because I'm crazy. I thought I was crazy until tonight. Okay, and this is where all this is going to get wild and people are going to be like, Josh is off his rocker and all this kind of shit. But I realized tonight that I had issues that I was projecting on everybody else in the world. And I didn't realize I was doing it. I like I said, I was at my breaking point. So I needed something, right? Like, I needed something to put me into a better headspace, or at least make me take a look in the mirror and realize what the hell I was doing, right? Because I'm going to tell you this, I've already been like, well, I'm going to go back to church. Okay, that's one. I'm going to go to AA, that's two. And some people that mean a whole hell of a lot to me was like, you're not an alcoholic. You don't have a drug problem. And like, when they told me this, I was like, well, then what the fuck is the problem? What the fuck is the issue if you don't think I'm an alcoholic, if you don't think I'm a drug addict? What is the issue? The issue is me and the things that I could not come to terms with. Tonight, I came to terms with them, dude. Look, I've heard Joe Rogan. I've heard Theo. I've heard Joey Diaz. I've heard Jelly Roll. I've heard everybody talk about when they do a macro dose, when they do a big, heavy dose of psychedelics, what it does to you and what it makes you realize. Like, I've heard so many times and like it killed me. Like, I watched myself die. That's their words, right? And I never understood that until tonight. I literally know now what it is. My ego is shredded. My ego is gone. I feel better now than I ever have. But if you would have saw me about 3-4 hours ago, you would have thought I was losing my fucking mind. I'm going to try to walk y'all through this, okay? Because it's going to, like I said, this how my night has went is so far-fetched that it would take an amazing writer to write this story, okay? First off, I thought I had some friends that were going to be with me this week and kind of keep me company, and then that didn't happen. So I was kind of depressed, and I'm already depressed, by the way. As a thing, like this past month has been the worst month ever for me. And I've done nothing but make it worse every single day. I can't blame a single person in the world but myself. I've made it so fucking bad, dude. I have literally just made it so bad. But anyway, so when they bailed, I was like, you know what? I know that I've got 4 grams of psychedelic mushrooms that I have been waiting and waiting for somebody to sit here with me while I take them. And I want to go through this whole, whatever, this journey. So, like, if you have to watch the documentary to like, understand this shit, right? But, like, you go on a fucking journey. Like, it really is like some Native American tribal shit. Like, I understand now. Like, I literally just went on a roller coaster ride. And it pushed me to the edge. It really did. But I'm going to tell you what all happened. So I did that. It took a little while to kick in. There's a movie that I just happened to find on TikTok earlier. But it's called What is Love? I think that's what it's called. What is Love? Let me get it right. Because there is this thing. There is this. What is that? What is Love? Because you guys got to watch it. It's got to be based on a play. What Love Is, excuse me. Yeah, it's definitely based on a play, the way that it's like filmed and everything. But there's this whole ass scene at the beginning of it to where, like, I've seen it on TikTok 100 fucking times. And it is just literally where this guy is just talking about how he puts on this show. How he just puts on this fucking act. Because when he was 16 years old, he gave a girl a locket and wrote her a song. And she broke his heart. She shit all over it. He was a little fucking romantic. And it goes on to say, like, that guy now is a womanizer and now wants to be seen as a womanizer. So he never gets close enough to get hurt again. Like, he's been hurt so many times that now he's the one that's hurting people first. And I've always just loved the way that they word it. I'm not doing it justice at all. Just go look it up. Like what I said, but the name and title and all that kind of shit, you'll know in the first 12 minutes that you watch it, exactly I'm talking about, because it hit me so hard, because that's how I've always been, right? So about that time, it switches over from the men talking to the women talking in the movie, and that's about the time that the mushroom started kicking in, and I started being like, oh shit, yeah, I gotta turn this, because one of my biggest insecurities is things that are said behind my back. I want to say it again to you guys. I can sit here and I can take everything that you say to my face. You want to call me a piece of shit? You want to tell me I am the worst person ever? You say that to my face? Oh my God. I can deal with it. I can process whatever. It does not bother me whatsoever. But if you even, for some reason behind my back, just be like, I don't like what Josh wore today, and I find out about it, my insecurities, my heart, my everything bottoms the fuck out in a way that I cannot explain to you guys. Like, it just, it crushes me, okay? That's why I turn it off to women, because it's literally like, I can't sit here and watch them five women in a bathroom talking for however long and just man bashing, because I'm gonna automatically picture people that I care about in that room and talking badly about me. So I was like, no, I'm not doing that. So I turned it back on to what is it called? Change Your Mind on Netflix. And anyway, I'm watching it and I'm just reliving these stories. I've watched this thing several times, but it's the first time I've ever watched it. And this was a good bit of the mushrooms, to be honest with you. There's a woman in there. She's 80 years old. She's got cancer. She's talking about how that her doing a psilocybin trip helped her so much. And it didn't cure the cancer, obviously, but it helped her realize, man, I lived a good life. My kids know I love them and all this kind of stuff. She knew she had to be forgiven for some shit. So it was even like there was a child that she had when she was young that passed away. And she says in her psilocybin trip that Mary comes to her and she's holding her child. And it's just like that weight was lifted off of her shoulders. Well, this is, like I said, this is all crazy. She looks just like the picture next to my bed of my grandmother. I never realized that till tonight. She looks a lot like her. And then my grandmother, she's got my mother, my uncle, but she also had another kid when she was very young and that baby passed away. And so I was like, oh my God, never connected the dots before, right? And so then I get in my head or whatever. I'm like, this is my grandmother talking to me. This is her telling me her story. This is her telling me her trauma right now through this, right? And that kind of sounds scary to anybody, right? Unless you need someone that you look up to, that you love, to say, hey, I've been through some bad shit and I made it through it. That's how I took it. And then I paused it. I paused the thing because there's a clip in the documentary you have to watch. But it's like I closed my eyes and I just wanted to hear what was going on around me. Well, this is where it gets wild. Growing up, I lived in a very abusive home. A lot of drugs, a lot of alcohol. Very, very abusive. And a lot of that shit is normalized to me. I've talked about it a lot on the show to where, man, there's a lot of shit that I've seen, a lot of shit that I've had to listen to that, damn, it's normal. Like, I think a little argument now doesn't mean anything because I've seen people fucking hit each other with cars and shit, right? And I had this moment to where, like, I'm kind of scared to say this, but I'm just going to do it. Like, one of my biggest fears is silence. When I close my eyes, if I don't hear something, if you've ever slept in the house with me, if you've ever been anywhere with me and I'm trying to sleep, you know I have to have some type of noise. I'll be real vulnerable with you guys now. The reason I have to have that noise, I have to have it turn out because growing up, one, I always had noise. It was always my dad had the radio turned up too loud because he was drunk, or my mom and dad fighting. I have to have noise because the silence scares me so much. Because I always knew growing up that if something was silent, that it was loneliness. But on top of that, man, I'm telling you, and I grew up with a mother that was suicidal. I've seen it firsthand with her. I grew up with a father that was drunk every day of my life. Silence is death to me. And when I tonight with the trip that I went on, I had this moment, man, and it was right after the grandmother was talking, and it was where I realized, like, silence isn't loneliness. Silence isn't nothing to be scared of. Silence is peace. And God, I'm telling you, like, I just started crying. It was just like this wave of emotion washed over me to where even I didn't want to hear me talk anymore. I didn't realize until tonight that I was scared of silence. I was scared of there not being noise. I was scared of that. And now I know that loneliness and silence aren't the same thing. That I don't have to worry if everything is quiet, because that means there's peace. I've never had peace before. I'm not being funny when I say this, because I really hope you guys go listen to other people that have done this. Like, I didn't even know that about me till tonight. I never knew why I'd had to leave the TV turned up so loud. I never realized, like, why I was so scared. As a 36-year-old man who's got a shotgun 12 feet away, live in a great little community. I got good neighbors. I've got two dogs that probably lick you to death. They're not going to bite you. But if somebody walks in the door and they're not supposed to, they're going to let you know, right? Why was I scared? And I get it now. I get why. You know, that's just one of the things. So I'm not going to get hung up on that, but I now know that silence just is peaceful. And to me, God, it's so beautiful to me. I didn't know that. Now I'm going to tell y'all where it gets a little scary, right? God, y'all are going to think I'm fucking crazy. And that's cool if y'all think I'm crazy, but I want you guys to know I've never been more clear-headed or felt better in my life or felt better about myself than I do right now. Okay. After I had that realization, I had another one. And it was where my whole life as an adult, I shouldn't say my whole life, my whole adult life, right? I've been looking for something and it's just happiness, right? But I've been putting my happiness into other people's hands. So, like, even the person I was just seeing, I saw them, and if they were happy, I was happy. If I saw them smile, it gave me a reason to smile. I don't know why I wasn't making myself happy. You can't put all your eggs into somebody else's basket and then expect to have eggs, right? I realized tonight that that's what I've done. I have let other people and their happiness in my circles define my happiness, right? I have wore myself so thin trying to make everyone else happy in my life that I have completely forgot about myself. And then I don't realize what a miserable cunt I'm being. I make the joke all the time about me being a miserable cunt, but now I understand why. I can't depend on you to make me happy. I can't depend on a woman. I can't depend on an animal. I can't depend on another human being to be the reason why I'm happy. I have to be happy. I have to love myself. That's another thing. I didn't really like myself till tonight. I'll be real. I kind of hated myself. That's me showing myself grace there. I hated myself. I know that I've lied. I know that I've cheated. I know that I've stole. I know that if it's a commandment or if it's just a moral whatever, a moral law, I've broke it, dude. I have broke it. And then I question why I'm not happy. I'm the reason I'm not happy, folks. But that's not even a fucking issue anymore. Because this is the first time in my life I know that I am happy. I kept saying this thing to myself too. I'm going to read y'all something that I wrote while I was in the middle of this shit. I'm talking about for 3 to 4 hours in the middle of this crazy shit. I'll read it to you when we get done though. But like, I didn't like myself. I was mad at myself. I was mad at myself about stuff that I thought it was going to take the good Lord coming down from heaven and telling me that he forgave me for me to forgive myself. And that's just not it, dude. That's just not it. I got a buddy, and he holds on to the fact that when he was a young man, someone got pregnant, and they had to get rid of it. He doesn't realize that there's 3 other people in my life that have told me the same thing. And I feel like he deals with all that pressure and everything alone. I feel like all of us do, right? So the reason I say that is I feel like we all put down now, and I understand this now, we all put down that deep, dark fucking secret in our hearts. The thing that we did that we knew we should not have fucking done. We put it down, and that is the thing to us that defines us the rest of our life. To me, when I was 20 years old, I slept and caused a divorce with a married woman. I've said ever since then that I am damned because that's what a preacher told me. But I was chasing my heart back then. I was a kid. I was dumb. I was 20 years old, dude. At 20 years old, you don't define the rest of your life. And a single action doesn't define you. There's people that have murdered, that have been on whatever, murder's row. They have been in prison the rest of their lives. And they've found happiness in their situations. You know, there are a couple things I don't think that should ever be forgiven. But I'm not God. I always say I ain't the judge, the jury, or the executioner. And I'm glad I'm not. I don't have to make those decisions. I don't have to make those fucking calls, dude. But tonight, I put my deepest secret out there. And I came to terms with it. I came to terms with it enough that I'm going to tell you guys right now. I've talked about suicide on this show so much. So fucking much, right? Because I don't want anybody to ever go down that road. Okay? I battle with that shit every day, dude. Even when I was happy here recently, and I'm happy now too, by the way. But when I was fake happy, I was really in love. But my happiness for myself was fake as fuck. And the only person that saw that and called me out on the bullshit was the person I was with. And that shit don't click. And it wouldn't have clicked if it wasn't for tonight. I get it. They saw that fucking demon in me. They saw that I was hurting. They saw that I would not come to terms with what I battle. And I did tonight. My deepest, darkest secret is the fact that I sit here and tell all of you all the time that I got it together. And I don't. I'm scared to death of somebody finding out that I don't have it together. I'm scared to death that somebody's going to be like, oh, he's a fucking fraud. I'm scared to death that I'm going to let down my daughter. And I'm scared I'm going to let down me. And after tonight, I had to look. This is going to sound batshit crazy. It's going to sound batshit crazy, but it's one of the most powerful moments in my life. So in the middle of all this shit, while I'm just losing my mind, I'm coming to terms with I have to love myself first, right? But it's almost like I'm going from room to room in my house as if this was different corners of my mind. It's the best way to not describe it. That behind every door was another thing that I had to conquer. That my house was almost like a fucking maze, but it wasn't, right? Well, there's a bedroom. It's in the back corner of my house. And I was scared to go in there. I can't tell you why. I was so petrified to go in this room. And I looked in the mirror for fucking, God knows how long. It could have been 10 minutes, could have been an hour, I don't know. But I was telling myself, you're on this journey. You're in it now. Like, you're in this now. There's no getting out of it. You've watched the documentary enough. You read enough about this stuff. It's time to fix yourself. It's time to come to terms with yourself. For me, I'm a visual learner. I can sit here and tell you all day that I'm moving on and I'm getting over and all this kind of shit. But unless I see your eyes, unless I see something in front of me to say that it's gone, it ain't fucking gone to me, right? I can't address it unless I see it. Okay, I can't just hear it. I have to see it. Well, after walking around my house on the inside, luckily my crazy ass didn't go outside, I started asking myself, why do I have a problem with this room? What is different about this room than anything else in my house? My shotgun is in that room. The thing that I fear the most is because it's a bad day or it's a bad month, me giving up on myself and pulling that trigger. I didn't realize that until I finally got the balls up to go in that room. And when I went in that room and I stood there, I looked around, I realized it was just a room. What was I upset about? And I looked in the closet. And in that closet, there's a little space heater. This little old room ass heater. Looks like RTD2, to be real with you. It's funny. But I stared at it. And it was a face to me. And I realized, because all this shit does, anytime you do a psychedelic, it makes you look at you. A psychedelic makes you see you the way the rest of the world does, or at least the way your loved ones do, right? That's the best way I know how to put it. But I'm sitting there, and I realize as I'm looking at this thing, I'm looking in the closet, I realize why I was scared to come in there. Because that gun's in there, dude. And then I just looked and I knew I had it beat. This is going to sound so crazy to every one of you. I get it. I looked at that thing and I looked what was looking back at me. And I knew how vulnerable I was. I want you to understand, like, this shit strips you down to your core, to where you're not shit. You don't have an ego. You're not thinking about what everybody thinks of you. You don't care. You're pretty much dead to yourself, is the best way I know how to put it. I have nothing at that moment, and I'm looking, and I know, man, this demon ain't never getting the best of me again. I don't have nothing to be scared of. Nothing. Everything that I'm sitting here battling every single day is my fear of me giving up on myself. If you don't allow yourself to give up on yourself, then nobody else can make you give up on yourself. About this time, I came back into my little living room area.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
I got back in my chair. I cuddled up. And I just laid here and I kind of prayed a little bit, right? And I know this sounds crazy, like mixing psilocybin and mushrooms and all this kind of shit with God, right? Yeah, I don't think so. I think that the fact that mushrooms and stuff have been around for forever, man, this, I think people were doing this a long, long time ago. But I laid here and I said, Lord, I know that this probably isn't the best thing, but I've really came to terms with some stuff and I'm finding out that I love myself. I know that sounds conceited, but when you hate yourself, when you loathe looking in the mirror, I loathe it. Y'all think because I post selfies and other stuff. Thing is I can't give myself validation, so I seek it from everybody else. I do. I can't make myself feel good about myself, or I couldn't. So I sought it out from you guys. Now, I know that I could have got a million fucking likes on a picture. But if I don't like it, if I don't like the person in the picture, it means nothing. It means nothing. And if you'd asked me that question 2 days ago, or even yesterday, I would have said, it could be a million likes in the world, but if she doesn't like my picture, it doesn't matter. That's not the case. It's me. It's me. I have to stop manipulating everyone and myself. I can't manipulate someone into really loving me. I can't trick you forever. Eventually, you're going to see this. Or you're going to see what was. There was a moment tonight to where I called my daughter's mother. And I was like, hey, look, I'm freaking the fuck out. Like, I just need someone to come hold my hand and tell me it's going to be okay. And she was tired of my shit, to be honest with you. She should have been. But I realized I've literally been just wanting somebody to hold my hand forever and tell me things were going to be okay. That I was okay. That I'm insane. But I'll be okay. Now we'll do this together. We'll work through this together. Okay, here's the problem with that, though. If you're depending on somebody else to tell you it's going to be okay, you're never going to be okay. Because you can't control the actions of that other person. That other person can walk out the door, and if they walk out the door, man, you could be sad about it for a little while, but they can't take their joy. They can't take your joy and your zest for life with them. You have to have that in yourself to know, man, even if this person isn't here, even if this job isn't here anymore, or if someone passes away, man, you got to be able to love yourself still. You have to. You can't manipulate yourself into loving you. You can't. You can trick everybody else in the world, but you cannot trick yourself. And I'm finding out that the real ones in your life, you can't manipulate them either, because the good Lord has done something to them to see through your bullshit. And I didn't know that existed until tonight. And all, I didn't. You know, I kept saying to myself, and I might have said this earlier, as part of the little love story that I wrote to myself, I shit you not, I wrote a love story to myself in the middle of this, as a reminder. But there was one thing I kept saying the whole time, is, Josh, you're not drunk. You're not high. You're changing your life right now. You're coming to terms with your life right now. When you wake up in the morning, you're going to have this same mindset. You're not drunk as hell and reading your Bible and then going to put scripture all over Facebook. It's not what you're doing. You literally are changing yourself right now. And look, I'm an extremist, like I said earlier. Most people probably don't need something like this. But I think I had so much bullshit and so much stuff that was just tucked down that I had to have something. I had to have something. I would recommend this to any of you that are struggling. I'm just going to tell you, though, it pushes you to your breaking point. It pushes you to insanity. It makes you look at every dark, disgusting thing you have ever done and come to terms with it, or forgive yourself with it. And when I say forgive yourself with it, I'm talking about forgive yourself and move the fuck on. Never address it again. I kept saying over and over to myself, because I was sweating profusely. If you've ever been around me, you know I sweat bad anyway. But I was sweating profusely. And in my mind, it was literally like, I'm sweating out all my sins. And I'm not talking about just godly sins. I'm talking about I'm sweating out my trauma. I'm sweating out every fucking thing that I've ever held on to. I'm sweating it out right now. And when I wake up in the morning, I'm over and done with it. Like, it's not anything I'm addressing again. It's not. But I'm gonna try to keep the story going instead of me getting all preachy and shit, because I don't want y'all to think that I'm just, I mean, if you've listened this long, you know I'm a little bit crazy, but I'm like good crazy, right? Very coherent and everything at this moment in time. Also, I started to do this, started to record this episode and film it. I decided not to film it, but I started to record this episode with about an hour left of what was supposed to be my trip. And I know that sounds crazy, but I kind of did my research on this shit before I did it. And I figured I had about an hour left and I was going to record it, because everything had just been so enlightening to me and me having self-discovery. But I decided not to. And the reason I decided not to was because I have found out I have impulse control. It is something that if you have ADHD, that is pretty common. I overreact very quickly. Just weekend before last, I blew up somebody's phone and acted like a fucking child. Impulse control. But I also was drinking heavily at the time, and that is not going to help somebody who has problems with impulse control. Yeah, so I sat here, and as I was looking at the camera, I said, I'm not going to allow myself to do this. I'm going to finish this off. I'm going to figure out what message I'm supposed to get. I'm not going to make this a pity party. And I think at the time it probably would have been a pity party. And that's the last thing I want this to be. I want this to help you with your self-discovery. I want this to help you with what you're struggling with right now, right? So decided not to do that. And as I'm deciding not to do that, and I sit back down in my chair and I'm just holding myself. I really am. Like, when I figured out that my whole life I just wanted somebody to hold my hand or hold me and tell me things are gonna be okay, and I realized that I could do that to myself, it became like a fucking superpower. Shit you not. If you want to feel better right now, stop what you're doing. Wrap yourself up in your own arms. Squeeze you tight. And just tell yourself it's going to be okay. Talk to yourself for a minute. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. You're going to be okay. I am here with you. Even when nobody else is, I am here with you. Do that right now if you're struggling, and oh my God, are you going to feel better? At least I know I did. Like, I had no love for myself before this. I am full of love right now for me. And I know that sounds conceited and crazy, but when you have hated yourself and you've hated the man in the mirror for so long, it makes me feel so happy to say that I love myself now. So that's what I was doing right there at the end. And then this is where I mean, I keep saying that because this is so far-fetched. It's fucking crazy. I remember that my daughter had told me yesterday, we watched a Christian movie. It's called Ordinary Angels. If you've not watched Ordinary Angels, please do. It's amazing. It made me cry. It made me, it's such a great movie. Go watch it. I mean, there's nothing I could say. You saw God in it is the best way I know how to tell you. I saw God in that movie. But because I've been lost, and when you're lost, you know, you turn to God. And truth is, if you would have looked to him in the first place before you ever got lost, you never would have got lost, right? So then I started looking for spiritual movies and stuff to watch, right? To make me feel better, probably for the wrong reasons. Still was trying to mask what I was going through, instead of actually dealing with it. And I was just going to take alcohol, away and put the Lord there, which is way better off, but still, unless you're addressing your issues, that doesn't fix anything, right? Like you have to come to terms with your shit. And anyway, so I watched this movie, The Shack. Well, I only watched about half of it. And I'd watched it before a long time ago. It's good, but I couldn't get through the rest of it. And she had told me earlier while I was sitting here, hey, me and Mom bought The Blind earlier, like a couple days ago or whenever they did. And I had never seen it. Never seen it. And I watched it. I sat here, and she'll probably never hear this, and I don't really mean it in a weird, crazy way, but if you were to look at my ex, and you were to look at the girl who plays Kay Robertson in this movie, they're twinning, so that freaked me out a little bit, but also, too, I was twinning, like spiritually, with his role in the movie, and I saw myself in him. I saw this man who was lost, and I saw this man who was just so hard on himself. He hated himself. And he had the world at his fingertips. He just had to kill himself and sacrifice himself for his happiness. He didn't have to give up. So I want to preface this real fast, because we ain't got much longer with this. I almost gave up my show. I almost deleted all my social media. I almost went to where it was like, hey, if I'm going to do this, I want to do a sober show, a Christian show. And I don't think it would have played, looking back at it now. And I was, that's impulse control. I was doing it because I'm in love with somebody, right? Like, and I thought that was a grand gesture. That wouldn't have fixed a fucking thing. I was explaining to my daughter yesterday what a grand gesture was. And a grand gesture is only a grand gesture if both parties view it that way. If I do something and I think it's grand, but you see it as annoying, then you're annoying. You're masking shit still. You know, you can't give up one vice for another. You know, you can't say, oh, I'm doing better because you traded something in for something you think is better, but it's really fucking not. You know? Because, I mean, I'd have gave up certain things. But also, man, the good Lord put me here. The good Lord gave me something that he knows what he's doing way better than I do. And I think that's true with all of us. I know now, after tonight, if I'm right, that he showed up and showed out more than he ever has in my life tonight. I've said for the longest time that, you know, your blessings come when you know you're about to break, but you don't quit. Your blessings come when you can't take no more and you take that next step. Your blessings come when you are at rock bottom and you refuse to lay there and die. That is when your blessings come. You have no choice but to turn to God, turn to faith, and teach yourself to love yourself when you're at that low of a low. I didn't know that until tonight. And I didn't know that just because of me going on this little journey tonight. After watching The Blind, I know that I'm not the only one. I know, and I should have known this before. I should have. I really should have. But my ego wouldn't allow me to. I've heard all these fucking people that are comedians and big name personalities and stuff talk about when they do a DMT trip or a psilocybin trip or ayahuasca, how it kills your ego. I now know what it means. Like, I now get it. If old Duck Dynasty can get through it. And he gives such a powerful message then all the shit that I think that I'm holding on to that is my ego isn't my ego. That's my pride. Man, I'm sitting here watching The Blind again, and I'm seeing it. Like, I just have it in the background, and I'm just watching it now. And it just makes you realize, like, each and every one of us have a mission in life. Each and every one of us have a path. His story and Miss K's story would not have affected other people the way that it's affected me. My story ain't going to affect certain people. But the ones that relate to their story or relate to my story, or when any of you tell your story and you're vulnerable and you're real and you're fucking raw, you're the only person that can connect to somebody who's struggling that's been in your shoes, is what I'm saying. I'm kind of getting wordy with it. But unless you look at someone who's been exactly where you've been and see how they came out the other side, it's really hard for you to sit there and think that you're going to. And that's what's happened to me now. I mean, tonight, I don't know if you can tell, I am sober. I'm not high whatsoever, which even when you do this stuff, I kept saying it, you're not. You're in your head. And you have to open up every door, and you have to address every issue. Tonight I did that, and I thank God that He allowed me to do it. He allowed me to be scared. He allowed me to be vulnerable with you guys, that He allowed me to go through this. This is going to do nothing but make me better at what I do. And I'm not talking about the show. I'm talking about being a man, being a father. You know what? I can actually probably be a happy human being now. I now know that my demons really don't control me. I've looked them in the damn face. I now know every little thing that I've ever done, that I've held on to, that has just made me bitter and mean and mad all the fucking time, is gone. It literally washed away like I was being baptized. How it says to wash away your sins, I feel like I got washed away. I feel like I'm clean. I really do. I know that sounds insane. I feel like I am clean right now. I feel like I have a clean slate. I feel like I still owe apologies to people. And this is the apology that I'm going to give to the folks that won't talk to me again. I should have done better. There's no excuses. I should have been a better person. I'm sorry that a 36-year-old man has to go to an extreme like this to realize that he was wrong. That he's been a piece of shit human. That he has not been a good friend. That he has not been the best dad at times. That he damn sure was not a good boyfriend. Wasn't a good brother-in-law. Or whatever you want to call that if you're not married. I wasn't. Good son-in-law. I wasn't a good son. And you know, that's kind of where I want to wrap this up with you guys, right? So coming out of the trip, and after watching, well, it was before I watched the movie, I realized that today is my mother's birthday. Now, if you've ever heard me on this show talk about me and my mother's relationship, we do not have a good one at all. That is on both of our ends. And I want to read y'all what I wrote to myself first, okay? Before I read you what I texted her tonight. Okay. This is going to sound insane, but this is what I wrote to myself tonight at 12:54. All right? I'm writing a love story to myself on what happens to be my mother's birthday. Before I read these text messages from her, I'm going to open up to myself. I just want you to know that you have a big heart, that you're a good person, a really good dad, But yeah, you fuck up more than anybody else. You've lied, you've cheated, and you stole. But I believe all of that is just a mask covering up your good heart. A person that is shitty doesn't realize those things are problems. You do. You know the difference between wrong and right. But you try to justify the wrong to feel right. Stop being scared of silence. Silence is peace. Remember, you're not drunk or high. You're actually facing demons head on and not liquored up for once. After you wake up in the morning and you sweated out every bit of this hate and scared that you have, you're going to be reborn. Your whole life, you just wanted somebody to hold you tight and be there for you mentally and physically. You've craved having someone that wouldn't leave, but the whole time it was because you didn't love yourself. You didn't understand that no matter who was holding you, if you didn't love yourself and hold yourself, you'd never be whole. Tonight you finally met yourself. You don't have to look for love in somebody else anymore. That feeling that you've been longing for was you. You'll wake up, and after you sweated out all this hate and all these insecurities and everything that just drives you insane about life, you're going to wake up to silence and peace. Embrace it. Don't run from it. You're going to love yourself finally, all on your mother's birthday. The Lord sure has a funny sense of humor. This was my love story to myself. All right. So, on May the 19th, my mom sent me this text message. Okay. I did not read it till tonight because I refused to speak to her until tonight. I don't know if you will get this or read it. If you do, hold on a second. I don't know if you will get this or read it. If you do, but I'm just going to say this. Maybe it's because I'm about to be the big 60 or just because how I feel. I need you to know I'm very proud of you for following your dreams. I don't always agree with the things you do or say to get to those dreams, but you need to know that I love the fact that you see what you want and you keep going after it. That takes courage that I never had, and I admire that about you. I miss you, son. I can't remember the last time you said, Mama, and believe me, I've tried. It hurts that you don't just pop open my door, plop on the couch, and say, Mama, what you got to eat? I know you are living your life now, and trust me, living life goes by fast. From 30 to 60 years old is faster in the blink of an eye. However, my prayer is no matter what you think of me at the end of the day, I pray that you know I would give my last breath so you could live. Please just know that I love you and nothing will ever change that facts. Change that facts always. Of course, you had to throw facts and always in there. This is what I sent her back, folks. Tonight, I'm telling you, I had nothing but hate and just anger for this woman until tonight. I had nothing. If I didn't talk to her until the day she passed, I don't know if I would have cried at her funeral. And I'm a crybaby bitch. I don't. It's just there was too much shit between us. Tonight made me realize, like, it's, some of that shit's me. It's not her. And I can't let that hate consume me anymore. This is what I messaged her. Mama, I love you. Happy birthday. I will never open your door and ask for food because your cooking is fucking terrible. Tonight I had a life-changing experience. A little bit of God and a lot of mushrooms magically go a long way. Tonight I came to terms with a lot of things I needed to face, change, and make right. I won't sugarcoat this. You and Donnie sucked as parents. But in one way or another, we all do. I forgive you for me and you. I've had a rough month. I thought the girl I was gonna marry walked out on me, and I needed someone to hold me and tell me it was gonna be all right. Tonight I realized that that person has to be me. But it don't hurt to have a kind word from your mom to make you feel better. I just wish she understood the crazy we grew up in and the things that we normalized that shouldn't have been. She was my best friend. I really thought I found what Papa saw in Mima and her. And Brooke, I love her to death. She will always be my Donegal, my ninny. And I wish she understood that. But Blank was literally my Miss Jackie, my Mima. I wish she understood that. What that means to me, I wish she understood what that means to me for me to say that. Anyway, I'm sorry for everything. I love you. I'm going to finish this journey now. Happy birthday. She sent me this long ass thing. I'm not going to read it, but it mended our relationship. And I had to kill my ego. I had to kill my pride. I had to realize it's okay to say you're sorry. I had to realize, but you have to mean it. You got to quit looking for people to treat you differently if you don't treat yourself differently. You want to be perceived as a better person, as a godly person, as a good person? Then be that person. It's not that hard. I don't know why I made it that hard. I really don't. I've made everything in my life hard. And I probably did that because I hate myself. Hated myself. After tonight, I know what it is to love yourself. I know what it is to look your demons in the face and say, not any fucking more. When I started doing this show, it's one episode in particular that sticks out with a guy named Matt Jackson, a blind guy that, you would have to go back and listen. I think it's called Diving Through the Darkness. This is like 4 years old, 3 years old. But I remember me and him having a conversation and it being how I think that the good Lord allows some of us to be battle scarred but not broken, to have dents and chings and chips in our armor, but we still have the armor of God on us. If our life was perfect, who do you have to preach to? Who do you have to help? I know after tonight, I've come to terms with my shit to where I can talk to people better about it. I'm a better man after tonight. If you're struggling and you know that you're the problem, you can fix that problem. Go to therapy. Go to support systems. You don't have to be an extremist like me. But also, too, I would encourage anybody that has shit that they're harboring that they cannot let go, please look into doing this. Please look into doing a DMT trip, a psilocybin trip, ayahuasca. Please. I have never felt better about myself than I do right now. I don't have an insecurity. I don't have resentment. I'm not mad. And the thing is, it doesn't wear off when you come to or coming down. This is a life-changing thing. I understand why everybody I've ever heard that has done it before. I understand now. I just want to tell each and every one of y'all, I love you guys. I'm sorry that I've let all y'all down the past couple weeks. I'm back. There's no more manipulating myself into loving myself. I love myself. There's no more manipulating anybody else into loving me. If you're listening to this, I hope you got something from it. I hope you start loving yourself today. And if you got to go extreme, But let your shit go, dude. You ain't never gonna be able to make anybody else happy if you hate yourself. You cannot sit there and say that you want the world when you're not willing to give up your world for what you want. You're tired of yourself? That don't mean you got to kill yourself. Sacrifice the things that are holding you back from being the person that you want to fucking be. And do it today. Make haste. Stop putting shit off. I put shit off with a woman recently. I thought I would change in a couple months. Thought I had that long to go. Didn't. Now I lost my best friend. I lost the person who inspired me to fucking better myself. You don't always got forever to make shit right with people. And you can't do it for them. You got to do it for you. But it's nice to have somebody push you in the right direction every once in a while. Start being better today. Start living the life you want to live today. Because you might not get tomorrow. I love each and every one of y'all. Thank y'all for listening to the Josh Terry Podcast. I will see y'all next time.